Morning, Suraj.
Morning.
Happy to be here with you amongst during the Sabbath time. And I thank God for this opportunity. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to come and open your word, Lord. Lord, though we are not worthy, Lord, we thank you that you are inviting us to work for you, Lord. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with me, especially as we speak your word, Lord, so that your message will be delivered in such a way so that everyone will be blessed and encouraged, Lord. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. When I'm young, my father wants me to grow with God with a desire. He spent all his money educating me in the good Bible school. He thought that I will grow with God. But unfortunately, I went in the other way. Instead of spending time with God, I spent my most of the time by watching movies and in other activities. And my dad's desire and my dad's prayer was that I'll be growing in God. And he often felt sad sometimes. Many times he expressed in public meetings too that I want my son to grow with God, but he grown in another way. In the similar way, sometimes it's very challenging for us to spend time for that which is essential. And we know it's essential, but we spend our time and energy, everything in a different way, which is not essential, and we won't get any benefit from it. And I like what Oswald Chambers puts this way. Have you ever been alone with God? And if you turn our Bibles to Mark 4:34, there he says, Jesus explained to them when they were alone with God. And when we are alone with God and when we spend time with him, he can create us in a better way so that he can use us. And the only way we can be used by God that we allow him so that he can mold us in a better way. And in the Bible, there are many examples that they're spending valuable time alone with God. And in Genesis 3:8, as we read, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. This was the usual regular custom to spend the time with God. As soon as they sinned, now they have to hide from the God. And we know that God walked with Adam and Eve really in a physical sense. And they've been looking forward every day to walk with physically, but after the sin, it went the other way around. And in the New Testament, even the disciples enjoyed the time walking with God. But as we see, when we walk with God, as we sung now, we cannot go before God, but you have to walk closely together, step by step, so that we can walk physically closer together. And sometimes we may wonder, how can I walk with a God whom I don't see? And let's go. And when we read again in Genesis 17:1, we can see God called Abraham when he was 99 years old, and he appeared to him and he said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. So, what does it mean to walk with God? Abraham certainly wasn't sinless. I think we get this picture of walking with God as being relating to him by faith. So also in, as we read in Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And again, Noah is righteous and blameless. He lived by faith as he walked with God. Now, if you turn our Bibles to Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him. As we read before, and Noah also walked with God blamelessly. But Enoch translated and God took him, but Noah died. And this picture tells us that when Jesus comes in the second coming, we can see two kinds of people. As we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." And Enoch walked with God. And as we read in Hebrews 11:5, Paul states that by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God hath taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So to walk with God seems to indicate a life of faith, a life of relationship with God. And apparently, Enoch did it perfectly. He did it so well that God just took him so that he could be with him all the time. And how Enoch pleased God. And if we read in Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible Commentary, volume 6 and page 197, it says, "Enoch kept the Lord ever before him. He made Christ his constant companion. He was in the world and performed his duties to the world, but he was ever under the influence of Jesus. He reflected Christ's character, exhibiting the same qualities of goodness, mercy, tender, compassion, sympathy, forbearance, meekness, humility, and love. His association with Christ day by day transformed him into the image of him with whom he was so intimately connected. Day by day, he was growing away from his own way into Christ's way, the heavenly, the divine in his thoughts and feelings. He was constantly inquiring, 'Is this the way of the Lord?' His was a constant growth, and he had fellowship with the Father and the Son. This is genuine sanctification." And we know he pleased God because he kept Christ as his constant companion. And we may think whether it's the right time now. I'm living in a good time. But if we see when Enoch lived, that's not the good time. And we may think Enoch was just the seventh generation. That time the world was new, but it's a long time. But here again, quote from the Ellen White: the time was no more favorable to the development of Christian character than is the present time. Yet we read that Enoch walked with God. Christ was as verily Enoch's savior as he is our savior, and in his power, notwithstanding the corruption of that degenerate age, Enoch perfected a Christian character. The voice saying to us, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness," said the same words to Enoch, assuring him that if he followed the Savior, he would not walk in the darkness of ignorance. There never has been and never will be an age when the moral darkness will be so dense as when Enoch lived a life of irreproachable righteousness. But Enoch lived 60 years and he got Methuselah. Now, the Adventist Home, page 161, puts this way: after the birth of his first son, Enoch reached a higher experience. He was drawn into a closer relationship with God. He realized more fully his own obligations and responsibility as a son of God. And as he saw the child's love for his father, its simple trust in his protection, as he felt the deep yearning tenderness of his own heart for that firstborn son, he learned a precious lesson of the wonderful love of God to men in the gift of his son and the confidence which the children of God may repose in the heavenly father. And here we see Enoch had a reborn experience with Jesus, as Jesus talked with Nicodemus about the importance of rebirth. And Enoch had the clear vision of God, and he saw the love of God after he had his son, and he had a deeper walk with him. And here we see that God has recreated us, that we should walk in good works. That word walk, here we have a meaning that conduct of life. In other words, walking in good works should be our habitual practice, not as something to be demanded, but should come as our natural expression of the new life that has been called to be a believer. And how can we walk with God when we don't know Him? The best thing is follow Jesus' example. Jesus invites us to abide in Him. As we read in John 15, Jesus says, "I'm the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in Him that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." And again, we see that in 1 John 3:16, sorry, not 3:16, 3:6. "No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him." And here, Jesus tells us that we have to abide in Him and He in us in order for us to have a fruitful life. And the nourishment we draw from Jesus must be a constant. Otherwise, if we separate from Him, we will die because we don't get enough nourishment from Jesus. So we have to remain attached with Jesus and to draw the nourishment and strength from Him. so that we'll be fruitful and glorify his name. And as we read in Testimonies for Church, volume 4, page 374, it says, as we read, it will do you good to frequently review the closing scenes in the life of a Redeemer. Here beset with temptations as he was, we may all learn lessons of the utmost importance to us. It would be well to spend a thoughtful hour each day reviewing the life of Christ from the manger to Calvary. We should take it point by point and let the imagination vividly grasp each scene, especially the closing ones of his earthly life. By thus contemplating his teachings and sufferings and the infinite sacrifice made by him for the redemption of the race, we may strengthen our faith, quicken our love, and become more deeply imbued with the Spirit which sustained our Savior. If we would be saved at last, we must all learn the lesson of penitence and faith at the foot of the cross. Everything noble and generous in man will respond to the contemplation of Christ upon the cross. And we need to pray every day. Prayer should be an essential. And I'm glad Pastor Walker has asked us to say the Lord's Prayer. And in that, we ask God to give us this day daily bread. We didn't ask God to give for every week, did we? We need to ask God every day, and we need to spend time with him. As when Jesus lived on earth, he prayed, he spent his time lonely with his Father, and because he, as we read in Mark 1:35, that he rose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. In the quietness of the early morning hours, we see that Jesus spent time with the Father to gain strength and insight and encouragement for the daily work. And even sometimes he spent time with the crowd and he left alone, and he has spent time with God, and he had that constant communication with his Father. And if Jesus spent daily time with prayer, and we need more time to spend our time with God so that we can be energized. And we can see this one as Daniel and his friends were successful because they spent their more time with God. And we need to have the family time with prayer morning and night. And we need to pray earnestly to God so that we can walk in his good works. And sometimes we need to fast and pray as well. And we need to be very careful with what we are eating, because we have to submit ourselves as a living sacrifice. Sometimes we may have a food which will harm our health. And when we need to be walked together, we need our legs to walk together. And if we have a broken leg, we can't walk with the Lord. So we need to be very careful what we are eating, and at the same time how we are spending our time with God and what we are watching. Sometimes the things what we watch will have a great impact on our mind, and that will distract us from the time to spend with God. So we have to be very careful with what we are doing. And if we turn our Bibles to Romans 13:13, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and in jealousy. But here, as we read, it talks about the moral purity, and we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to adopt his conduct and spirit. And in Christ's Triumph on page 43, it reads, "And how did Enoch walk with God? He educated his mind and heart to ever feel that he was in the presence of God. And when in perplexity, his prayers would ascend to God to keep him. He refused to take any course that would offend this God. He kept the Lord continually before him. He would pray, 'Teach me thy way, that I may not err. What is thy pleasure concerning me? What shall I do to honor thee, my God?'" And we see that the world in where Enoch lived was no favorable to growth in grace and holiness than it's now. But we see Enoch spend much time in prayer and communion with God, and that enabled him to escape the corruption during that time. And it was his devotion which fitted him for his translation. And we are living amid the perils of last days. And as Paul says, in that everything is full of lust and selfishness. So we must receive our strength from the same source where Enoch received. And we must walk with God. A separation from the world is required of us. We cannot remain free from this pollution unless we follow the example of faithful Enoch and walk with God. And if you read John 3:19-20, this is the verdict: "Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." And it's a sad thing that when we not come to the light, we are not accepting God's goodness. And again, as we read in Christ's Triumph on page 42, "The softening, subduing influence of the Spirit of God upon human hearts and minds will make the true children of God sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There will be soft, subdued spirit in all those who are looking unto Jesus. The love of Jesus always leads to Christian courtesy, refinement of language, and purity of expression that testify to the company we are with, that like Enoch, we are walking with God. There is no storming, no hoarseness, but a sweet fragrance in speech and in spirit." And also, we need to share our faith with one another. Sometimes we may think they are not God's people and we don't want to mingle with them. But Enoch, even in that time, he warned the wrongdoings of the people and he announced the second coming of God. If you read in Jude 14 and 15, "Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about this man. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts as they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Because in the Patriarch and Prophets it says, because when the world were evil, they left the mountains and they stayed there. And they come down to the valleys to spread the word of God. So we have to separate from the sinners, but we shouldn't adapt what they are doing. And that's why we have to be careful with what we are doing. And again, by we can walk with him by studying his word. As we've seen, we have to spend time with God, reading his time, spending time to read the Bible, and by sharing the faith with others, we can walk with God. Sometimes we may think our memories are poor, and I used to admire how the pastors can remember every words, and they quote from this word to that word straight away. It was hard for me to understand until I start to share with one another. When I shared to others, then I remember the words clearly, where they are taken from. And while sharing, we are not strengthening others, we are strengthening ourselves too, and it's benefit for us to learn. And then we have to submit ourselves to the will of God, as we read in Amos 3:3, until someone is agreed, we cannot walk together. And to agree literally means have an appointment. Just as two people do not walk together unless they have a common purpose in view. So the Lord indicates the special relationship he wants to hold with you. And expressly renders this verse, shall two walk together at all if they do not know one another? It's true that without knowing one another, we can't spend time together. So to know God, as we've seen before, we need to spend time with God, and we need to read his word correctly. And how we are, by beholding him, we are changed. So we need to dig deeply to know the character of God so that we can be like God and we can praise him. And that's my prayer. May God help us to walk closely to him.
Go to the highways and hedges. Go to the farthest of fields. Go and compare the sick and the well. For our Father's house will be filled. Go to the streets of the city. Bring in the crippled and blind. All who would taste this banquet of grace must come and waste no more time. the great and the least, the rich and